This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. Last month, a familiar story hit the front page of the sports section. Multi-millionaire athlete declares bankruptcy. This time, it was 39-year-old football legend Warren Sapp. He played defensive tackle for 13 seasons in the NFL, won a Super Bowl title with Tampa Bay in 2002, and banked, by his own count, $60 million. Now he's filed for Chapter 7 liquidation. According to court papers, he owes creditors more than $6.7 million. Sapp says he made bad real estate investments just before the housing bust, among other financial woes. And because of the debt, his paychecks as an analyst for the NFL Network were garnished. Now, he is hardly alone. According to Sports Illustrated, nearly 80% of NFL players file for bankruptcy within 2 years of their retirement. Warren Sapp joins us in studio for his first broadcast interview since the court filing. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, have you been practicing your two-step, or are you all done with that?
No, I need a beautiful partner that's a great teacher, and I'm a beautiful student, so my little girl made me. I had no choice. She was like, "You doing it." Ran upstairs, called both grandmas. It was over.
Oh, that's great. This is, of course, a finance show, not ESPN. So we were interested in talking with you.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Nah.
Oh, well, there you go. So we were interested in talking with you, particularly with the NFL draft having just happened, about what it's like for a young football player to suddenly have to deal with a paycheck that is beyond that of what most Americans can even dream of. Do you remember what that was like for you?
Yeah, I do. A very fond memory of it. You know, when you're sitting there and you're holding a check for $667,000, you look at that and you hold it for a second. And I remember thinking, I could spend $1,000 for the next 365 days and almost not hit half of this.
Yeah.
But then you learn about, you got to put some away because they really didn't take the proper tax rate out. And, you know, you learn about that at that point. So it's a little different.
What do they help you out with?
Nothing.
At that point in time.
Nothing. Nobody. You're a grown man. Who's supposed to help you? When I came into the league, it wasn't a rookie symposium or anything. Like now, they do a wonderful job. They give them rookie symposium. They lowered the agent rate to, it only could max up at 3%. You know, it used to be guys had, it was all kind of people playing different rates. So they made it a universal system. They've improved it a lot.
So how did you manage it earlier in your career? What did you do to educate yourself?
There was nothing I could do. I mean, where was I going to go?
So you just put it in a checking account?
No. I got lucky. I met a guy when I was in college at Oppenheimer. And when Oppenheimer was, I don't know if they're still running now, but, you know, I went and did a summer course up there and found out about variable, you know, mutual fund and variable annuities and different stuff like that. And went with Prudential when I first got out. And, I mean, I only had $4 million to invest at the time. So I dumped almost all of it in there. And you feel like you're investing. You feel like you put it somewhere safe. And then 10 years, you go back and look and see where it's at.
Mm-hmm. You realize you just said you only had $4 million to invest.
But you have to realize I made 60.
How do you go about budgeting for yourself?
You have no idea. Because the one thing I wanted to do when I first got in the league was retire my mother, and I've done that. She hasn't worked a day in her life since that April 22nd when I was drafted in 1995. That's the key. Because you're looking at a young man that was raised without air conditioning or cable television. Right now, when I walk into my condo on the 33rd floor, it looks pretty nice to me. So you have to understand where you come from and where you're at, and then find yourself on solid ground where you can step to tomorrow and find something and keep going. The average career was 3.7 years long. That's why I only said I only had $4 million, because you couldn't count anything past that.
Do you think that players think that way enough? That this is potentially a limited opportunity?
No, not anymore, because you can see today's athlete. We anoint them the next greatest thing, the next this, the next whatever. And work is a disease. Not everybody could catch it. And it's not highly contagious. I mean, that's why the average career is less than 4 years long, because they're always looking for the next great thing. And if you don't put your nose to the grindstone and do what you need to do, your job is gone.
You have recently been in the news for a bankruptcy filing.
Me?
Oh. Yes. Did you not hear about that?
Nah.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of Americans look at famous athlete, famous celebrity, famous Hollywood person who ends up having to declare bankruptcy, ends up in a position, and they just don't understand how that happens.
Let me see if I can put this in a context.
Yeah.
When I was in the locker room and I was surrounded by other millionaires, other $100,000 men, there was three things that we kept off the table. That was your significant other or your wife or whoever you were, you know, intimate with or whatever you like. So we're going to leave that off the table. We're going to leave your children off the table because they're not mine. I don't want to support them. I have my own to support. And money. Because I don't make it. I'm not paying your mortgage. You're not paying mine.
Just didn't talk about it.
You shouldn't worry about mine. Mm-hmm. So, and in that sense, I wouldn't expect a regular person that's at 9 to 5 to understand what I'm going through. And there's nothing I'm going to say here today that's really going to give them any clarity on it. And what you read and what you hear and how you interpret it is all on you.
Sure. But, you know, you were even mentioning on the way into the studio, you know, $60 million. You mentioned it earlier.
And I made $60 million.
Right. So how do you go from $60 million to a Chapter 7?
Three things happen, because normally things happen in threes, right? My salary went from $5 million to under $1 million. I went through a divorce. They say it's cheaper to keep. I found that out, literally. And the financial crisis that hit this country. With those three things happening at one time, it really put me in a unique situation. And I fought for a good 11, 12 months, reaching and grabbing and doing whatever I could. And trust me, you don't choose this.
No, I'm sure no one would.
You weigh your gains and minuses, and I had to make a decision. And it was either that or not be able to support my children, and I'll take supporting my children over anything else.
Do you have any regrets about decisions, financial decisions that you made, ways that you managed your money that people might learn from?
Always have your hand on the steering wheel. Don't allow a business partner that you think knows your best interest to be able to do things. That's what really, really, you know, tripped me up and got me into a situation where I couldn't untangle it, and it was going to cost me more to untangle it than it was worth. So you,
so you felt like you weren't as involved?
No, I didn't have my hand on it. I was on the other side of the country, and I was trusting someone that, you know, I felt like, you know, they had a hand on the pulse of the situation and the hand and the pulse on our situation within the investment that we were making. But boy, was I wrong. Real rough. The one time in my life I get into business with somebody and it turns upside down on me. Ugh, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't have.
What kind of financial challenges do you think professional athletes face as opposed to regular Joe or Jane?
You know, I always said when we were in the locker room and, you know, around people, it was my saying, you know, never talk outside your pay grade because you never know what you would do in that situation or if something like that comes into your fold. Because Notorious B.I.G. said it best, more money, more problems. Because when someone hands you a check, you would think that this is mine, but it's not. You know, the tax rate that's on it is not where it should be, and then you have to adjust that and do different things, and you have to prioritize, and I did. I retired my mother, and that was the most important thing. My kids are healthy. They're in great schools and, you know, bringing home good grades, and I'm okay, you know. It's not about me, you know. I don't need to drive a Rolls Royce Phantom. You know, I don't need to drive a Ferrari, Diablo, any of this crazy stuff. I've lived. Now it's time for my children. You know, I had a great run. You know, I did some great things for myself. Now I'm going to readjust this. I'm going to get everything back on the ground, and we're going to go forward.
Is there anything you'd like to set straight for the record?
This is the one thing I do want to set straight, because it was written at the beginning like I was a deadbeat dad. You do not pay your child support in the great state of Florida. I am more than current. Everybody out there, don't worry about the SAP children. They are real well taken care of. I'll eat trash before my children are not taken care of.
Do you think that money is something that should be talked about more openly? You said it was one of the three that nobody talks about.
No, not in the locker room.
No?
Because the person that has your job that's on the other side, he might make a little more money than you, but you might think he a better player than you. See, trust me, you don't want to bring this conversation up.
It sounds like just about any other workplace.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. You don't bring it up in that workplace. You don't talk about someone's significant other or their children in the workplace. You asking for trouble, right? Just be careful with how you come at people, you know. But, you know, this is a Twitter world. Everybody's a gangster behind the keyboard. So it is what it is.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. You know, you have just under 1 million followers. And I wonder, how has social media played a role in all the stuff that you do today? Do you think it's good for the game? Has it had an effect on professional sports?
I think it's real good for the game because it gives the players a medium that they didn't have before. I watched Brian Dawkins announce his retirement on Twitter the other day. The news reports on Twitter.
Why did you come and talk to us about this?
You know what? I didn't have a problem with it because y'all extended the invitation. The Marketplace is a beautiful place for me to get my message out without any clutter, without any ambiguity. This was a chance for me to get my word out there. To just set, maybe set it straight, maybe not. Some may listen, some may not, but they have it now.
Well, Warren Sapp, thank you for coming in.
Not a problem.